Quickly, let's declare the word of the Lord. Say, I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a consequence, I am walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Say it again. I am bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. I want you to declare like you are here. Say, my heart is enlightened. I have the spirit of wisdom. I have the spirit of revelation. I have the spirit of understanding. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say this like you believe it. The word of God is not shut out to me. I am not shut out from the word of God. In my heart, the veil has been removed. I want you to say like you believe it. In my heart, the veil has been removed. Therefore, I have understanding. Say this, the matters of my life are clear. I know what to do so as to please God. I know what to do so as to walk in the will of God for my life. I am not confused. I do not have the spirit of confusion. I have a sound mind. And that sound mind is working again this evening. And is helping me understand the word of God. To the glory of His most holy name. In the name of Jesus Christ. Alright, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Alright, let's continue teaching the kingdom life. What we have been trying to explain here is that Christianity shows outwardly. It is not just what is inside your heart. It shows. It reflects in what you do. Let me say it again. Christianity reflects in everything that you do. Whether you declare to somebody that I'm a Christian or not, they should know something is different about your life. The real test of whether your faith is working is that people know, even if they don't understand that it's because of faith, it's because of Christ. Instantly, people, after they've interacted with you for a while, they will just know that something is different about you. When you talk with people, they should know. Now, you're not doing this to show off. And that's where a lot of people make the mistake. They want to pretend, you know, that's what is called hypocrisy. When you are doing something that you have not really become, that's what is called acting. And the word actor in the Greek is hypocrite. So that's what an actor is. So people sometimes come up with that in Christianity. But that's not what we are talking about. What we are saying is that if indeed you have faith, James said, faith that cannot be expressed by the works that it produces is dead. If the way you walk, there's not something that we can account that is the reason why you are doing this is because of your faith, then you do not have that faith. You are deceiving yourself. If you are not ready to ever take a loss, all right, because of your faith is not genuine. I said it before, it's the faith that cannot overcome sin, the faith that cannot use to deny yourself certain issues, that faith cannot overcome the devil because that faith is not real. And that's the reason why sometimes it appears as if the faith of Christians are not working. When on a daily basis, nothing in their lives show that they have faith. Then suddenly when they are in need, they want to just draw that faith out of somewhere, all right, and suddenly start getting results by reason of that faith. The faith doesn't work, not because faith in itself does not work, but because that faith is not genuine. How do I know the faith is not genuine? Before that time, his life did not show anything that showed that he had faith. And that's why that faith does not work. That's why it doesn't get results in his life. Now, please, you must understand that. So that's what James was explaining to us when he said that, can a man have faith and not have works? He was saying that if your faith is alive, it must produce works. The only way, I keep on emphasizing this, the only way you will know whether you have faith or you don't is not by whether you think you have faith. It is whether your works show to even you that you have faith. I won't talk about money again as an example. Now, the reason why a lot of Christians, all right, fall for what one of my brothers called prophetic swindlers is because they hear stories, they want to copy the acts of the people, all right, expecting that same result. When the people, they are copying their acts, did those things out of faith in their hearts, not because they needed something from God. Let me say that again. The people that we try to copy sometimes, maybe a preacher wants to come and motivate you to give, maybe I need money, I bring somebody here to come and raise money from all of you. You understand what I'm saying? Now, normally it comes with all kinds of stories. I was in Maiduguri, one man gave his car, and after 1 week, the Lord gave him a train. And I was in Botswana, and then one man gave his head. After 2 days, the Lord gave him 6 heads. Then I was in... It's true now, you've heard the stories now. You know, you hear all those kind of things. But the one I heard today, yesterday night, one of our brothers said something to me. He just forwarded something somebody sent to him, all right? That the fellow said they should all watch TV. And on television, somebody was saying that you have to quickly send in your first fruits at this time of the year, all right? Send in your first fruits, this was yesterday, for a 100-fold harvest, something like that. And that is particularly important now because your first fruit will be coming into the TV station before the third full, blood moon, the full blood moon. Have you heard of blood moon?
Yes.
Yes. That the blood moon is about to come. So if your first fruit hits the ministry, you will get 100-fold. So I told my brother, I said, is this a joke? Is it that this guy is... But did somebody watch this on television? You know, this thing is so horrible and we are used to it. Now, we don't realize how bad it is. It's really very, very bad. All right? Now, let me not sit on that. So, but why do we fall for it? That's what I want to talk about again briefly. I explained this to, if you got my sermon I sent out about 2-3 weeks ago, when I talked about sowing to the Spirit, I explained this. This is the problem. And listen to it. Let me just say it categorically here just to help people. This is the problem. A lot of those stories that people tell, forget the fact that I use some hyperbolic stories now to just, you know, make the point clear. A lot of those things actually happened. A lot of them happened. In fact, in that message that I wrote, the article, I told 2 stories in there, talking about walking the Spirit. A man gave the money he needed to pay his mortgage on his house to John Alexander Dowie. Dowie was a great man of God in his day. And at that point in time, Dowie was very broke because the ministry had fallen apart and they had actually impeached him essentially from his office. So he was now a lonely man. So this man went to see him. The money he needed to pay his own mortgage, he saw that this man was broke. You understand? It's like maybe you come to see me one day, say, Pastor Mark has been teaching up for years, then something happened, they sacked me from here, which will not happen, amen? You now see me sitting down one day very broke, and you needed money to go and repair your car, and you kept that money on you. Just say, look at this man. So you now gave him the money in there to pay his mortgage, all right? And if you know the way it is in those countries, you can lose your house if you are behind on your mortgage payment. But he honored the man and gave him the money. And then, shortly after, that fellow's brother or uncle called him and said something like, hey, how far without your house? He said, don't worry. And he didn't know about the other one, about what happened transpired between him and the man of God. He just said to him, don't worry, I will pay everything you have outstanding on that house, everything. And that man, for what was known about it, he fulfilled his promise. And that man never had to pay anything on that house again. He probably would have had to pay for years afterwards. But he honored God at one moment, and somebody took off everything on him. And I told the second story, which I've told you many times, about Mary Kay Ash, who made a pledge in church one day, and the Holy Spirit had said to her ahead of time, offer to double anything that people will pledge that day. And then she got there, thinking they would pledge like $5,000, $10,000. They ended up pledging $106,000 after she had offered to double whatever they will give. Not really pledge, give that day, because she had that next day to pay up the money. And of course, I've told the story here many times. Next day, of course, the elders wanted to release her from the pledge, all right, the oath they had taken. They wanted to release her, but she refused to be released. So she paid the money, even though she planned to go and pay the money, even though she was going to borrow it. And of course, she finally did. But before she even left her house to go to the bank to collect the money, she could afford it anyway, but just that she needed the cash at that point from a bank. Her phone rang again, and her son said to her that the investment they made some time ago has started yielding, and her share in the proceeds, oil business, was going to be over $100,000 a month. And that was the money that she just gave to her church to build, all right, the children's wing of the building. Now, we preachers like to tell these stories. And when we tell these stories, we'll now say, who wants that miracle? If you want that miracle, quickly go to your bank right now, go and take an overdraft, and come and put it on the altar. And 99.95% of those who respond to that, they go broke. They go broke. The other day, somebody was telling me the story of a man who, after giving a huge amount, after prophetic, you know, declaration overhead, the moment he gave that money, problem began in his life. Instantly. Do you understand? The reason is because those people are sowing to the flesh. Now, what I'm going to explain here is this. You will not get anything. I'm telling you, let me warn you ahead of time. You will not get anything. I'm not killing your faith. I'm helping your faith. I'm telling you the truth so that your faith will not be undermined when you sow seeds that will not produce anything for you. Why is it that you will not get anything? Because the people you think you are copying did not do what you are doing. It looks like they did, but they actually did not do that. What did they not do? I'll tell you. Nobody told them any story ahead of time. The first person gave to that man of God out of honor, pure honor. This is a man of God that has served this kingdom, has preached this truth. Why is he in this kind of distress? Let me deny myself and give to him. He was not thinking of, as I sow this seed, God will pay off my house. He didn't think of that. So he sowed to the Spirit. This woman, the same thing. She gave just because she was a woman of her word, and the Holy Spirit has motivated her, and she loved her assembly. You understand? She did not give that money because she was hoping that somebody will give her a breakthrough. Those of us who give money because we are hoping for a breakthrough, we will never get anything. God will not honor it because he didn't send anybody to go and tell you that. It's the way by which we preachers these days raise money to meet our immediate needs. You understand what I'm trying to say? Listen. I've told you the truth, okay? I just want to help you, okay? I'm trying to say that. So you see, the works of faith, all right? It's not the works we do because we are trying to get something out of it. Now, why I told those stories, all right, to bring out the issue of sowing to the Spirit versus sowing to the flesh again, is to let you know that, you see, the works we are dealing with, you see, without having a plan in mind, your faith just stimulates you to do things. And that's what happened to those two people. That's how I'm going to use money as an example. That's why people make a lot of mistakes. Money, you know, if you have faith really in God, it affects the way you spend money. Nobody needs to come and cajole you to get something out of you. You know, I talked to one brother the other day, you know, one of our brothers. I said, you know, he said, oh, I don't have a car right now. I said, what happened to your car? And the car was a very nice car he has. Very, very, very beautiful car, right? Body brand new, all right? Just not too long ago, a few months ago. So, and I said, oh, did you give it as an offering? He now said to me, he said, okay, God will have to speak for me to release that guy as an offering. I replied him, I said, oh, you of little faith. I said, forget that thing. God would not have any conversation with you because of a car. I said, listen, what he will do to you, this way I'm coming to, is to present a valid need. When he presents a valid need, you will release that car without thinking. He replied to me, he said, what you have said is true. He said, what you have said is true. That if God presents it, that if I see a valid need, what is motor car? We'll drop the keys and walk away. Will that be the first time of trekking? Now, what I'm going to say, that is a culture of Christianity, talking about money. That is a culture. It's not that somebody has winding up. We don't give money because we want to get. It's an evil culture. It's a wrong culture. It's something that's come into Christianity, and God has deputized me to end that nonsense. It must come to an end. We don't give because we want to get. That is not Christian culture. We give out of love. And that's what I was discussing with that brother. That is, if you went somewhere and you saw a real need, and it is the cost of your car that will meet it, you will drop the keys and walk away. I remember the story of one man. The fellow telling me the story. I met him in Nigeria, but he said this happened, I think, in Ghana or one of these West African countries. He said there was a man, a white man, I think from Germany or something. The man came and saw that the rural pastors didn't have motorcycles to move about, and they didn't have. So he went back home to go and sell the only car he has, and then brought the money down to come and buy motorcycles and share it. He'll go back home and go trekking. It was not a rich person. But the issue is just that, you see, when he saw the need, that's a Christian culture. Sometimes when God bless a man like that, he gets back home, maybe BMW, Mercedes-Benz, and Audi all together, and one day dropping their top of the range cars. Somebody will now come and give a testimony. Who has a car right now? You're going to drop it on this altar, and then you're going to... All of them will start running down, dropping their cars on the altars because they want cars, forgetting that the man who gave his own car did not do it because he was trying to get BMW, Audi, and Mercedes-Benz to give him anything. He did those things because he saw a need. Because of our faith, some things have become a culture. Do you understand? And that's what I've been talking about. I went all of this trying to say that faith without works, James said, is what?
Dead.
All right? And now what am I trying to say? A man, yeah, I know that's where I swung into that. A true Christian is a giver. Not because he said, that is how God meets my need. No. No. The real faith of a believer is that he knows that God meets my need. Do you get my point? For that reason, what I have is not my God. I don't know whether you saw the way I turned it. The common teaching in Christianity is that you give because by that God meets your need. And I say no. That is not faith giving. That's not faith giving. That is what David Paulson, I was listening to him, talking about covenants. He said, you can never make an agreement with God. No. He said, God has given out the terms of his covenant. You have only a choice to make. Accept. If you don't like it, walk away. You can't come and say, God, I will do this, you will do that. He said, God doesn't accept that. He's made his covenant. You either enter into that covenant or you ignore it. This is what I'm talking about. In the covenant of God, he said, I am your shepherd, therefore you will not lack anything. That's the covenant of God. I make all grace abound towards you. You have all sufficiency in all things, and you are bound to every good work. That's the covenant of God. Are you getting my point? That is the covenant of God. This is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. That is the covenant of God. One of my favorite verses says, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. That is the covenant of God. Now, I'm on the other side. What do? I accept it. If I accept that covenant, do you understand? Then every other thing can't hold my faith. So if they threaten me with job loss, you know, is not an issue. They say a dollar is now going to become 500 naira to a dollar. It's not affecting any of these promises of God. If they say, we are banning importation of this thing that you deal in, you know, one door closes, another one will open. Do you get my point? Yeah, yeah. All these things are the faith that in our heart. You get the point? So that when God says something like that, and circumstances say another thing, we stick with God, and then we now start behaving according to what we have believed. For that reason, I have 10,000 naira. That's all I have. And a need arises. Now, listen to that. A need arises. Whether it's concerning the propagation of the gospel, or to honor a man like Alexander Darwin, the story that I told, or a neighbor is actually hungry. A young man needs to pay, fees for school. You know, somebody is sick in the hospital, doesn't have money to buy drugs. I happen to know about it. Because my life is not tied to the 10,000 I give. Am I giving so that God will supply my need? No. I am giving because I know he is dependable. If I want my need supplied, I go to him and simply ask. So James said, you have not because you do not ask. The mistake we make sometimes as preachers and Christians trying to learn is that we don't realize that sometimes the refusal to give under such circumstances is a sign of lack of faith. And if you don't activate the promises of God by faith, they don't work. That is why you see the man, he's stingy. He's always holding on to the money he has. So he gets him broken and broken and broken by the day. The power of God is not flowing towards him. And somebody says, it's because he's not a giver. It is because he doesn't have faith. Lack of faith is the reason why he's not a giver. And lack of faith is the reason why God is, you know, the resources of God that should have been available to him is not flowing towards him. And that's why it's possible to copy actions of people. And you don't get their results. Because you don't have their faith. And we preachers, sometimes when we're trying to raise money, we make that mistake. We tell people, copy this man's actions. No, you can't copy his actions. You can only copy his faith. It is when the actions are based on faith that they produce results in your life. Many people will have followed into the house of the widow of Zarephath, giving to Elijah, and they will have gotten nothing. Why? This time around, they are sown to the flesh. They do not have the faith that brought Elijah to the doorsteps of that woman in the first place. Please, I hope you are getting my point. I need to emphasize this for Christians to understand. That is why I said, how do you know? Sometimes people say that a prophet prophesied something and said that if you will give this amount of money, by next week, you will get a lot extra. Now, you now say, okay, how do I know it's not telling the truth? And I'm giving the answer again. It doesn't matter whether it's telling the truth or not. What matters is the need genuine? Did you hear what I said? If he cannot demonstrate a genuine need, ignore him. Even if he calls the Holy Ghost beaming on his head, look away. If you can see, he demonstrates to you that the need is genuine, you're convinced, then ignore whether the promise is valid or invalid. Use the opportunity. He said, as much, as often, Paul said, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all men. Consider it an opportunity to do good. Don't look at it as an opportunity to sow a seed, whether it will germinate. I hear there's a message that's in my head now, which if you hear it, please ignore it. Because it's not good. I still remember one man preaching, that anytime I sow, you know, I want to be sure it's right. And what does he mean he knows it's right? He's checking whether the result will come. I said, that's not Christianity. If I give you money today, I don't know how God will reward it. I don't know. He said, the earth by itself produces. He himself knoweth not how. What am I saying on this money matter? Did people come here with questions today? I've been trying to break away from it. It's just not breaking. So some people have said, I went to this church the other day. I went to this place. The man said that if we gave a seed, after 6 weeks, there will be breakthrough. There has been no breakthrough since. Yes, it is not coming. If the only reason you gave that money was because of that breakthrough, hear ye the word of the Lord. It is not coming. Are you following me? However, if you went somewhere, maybe another church, they didn't even promise anything. Your heart just moves. When the pastor says, praise the Lord, the microphone will crack. You know those kind of common, you've seen it sometimes in Nigerian churches. I say, why do we use wireless? Just put cable so that all this cracking will stop. You get there, and experience has taught you. You say, but when I go to listen to Pastor Bank, these things don't happen. You now call Israel. He said, why doesn't this happen? He said, it's not a spiritual matter. It's the, it's the quality of the microphone that you bought. If you don't want it to break, just pack it like, because of the current state of Forex, just pack it like 60K, you get a very good one. It's a single one. It's okay. Next time I'm going to church. So you look for 60K. Now listen, you may not be that rich, but you've been to, I was in a church once. The man finished preaching the word. At the end of the day, my wife went to go and buy CD. They said they didn't record. She wanted to cause riot. You did not record that thing. And what happened was something. Are you getting the point I'm making? So you find that kind of situation, you're not going to say, okay, this thing, how much is it costing? You look at it, it's going to cost you, you don't earn as much as this, no problem. You get a man who will give it to you on credit. You pay him regularly for like 3 months, meanwhile the first day you've given to the church. It doesn't matter whether the pastor promised anything or not. That is what is called sowing to the spirit. Any seed you, in quote, give, because somebody is there whining and whining and whining and promising heaven and earth, you've lost every single one of it. You hear what I said? Just forget it, all right? God is not angry. You too, don't be angry. Say, Pastor Banky, it was my 2 years savings I gave that man that day. And God has delivered you from faithlessness. You should be grateful. If you are saving for 2 years, for what? So I was planning to buy a car. You don't need the car. If it's taking 2 years to save, did you die in these 2 years? Don't worry about it. Keep tracking. You will track in peace. Because if you use 3 years to save for a car and they steal it in the fourth year, you know you're going to start again. You're going to start again. Anything you need 3 years to save for like that, that can be stolen, don't bother. I've just known some people came with these questions today. Jesus. I have a message to preach you, but let's help people. Let me just tell you, don't worry about it. The money is not coming back. That seed was dead on arrival.
I want you to feel bad before I encourage you. You've lost it. It was good for you that you were afflicted. You will see that pastor one day on television. Don't be angry. He's not the one. He didn't do any evil against you. You are the one that sinned against yourself and against God. And on God's behalf, I declare to you, your sins are forgiven. Amen. You have no right to be angry. You are the sinner. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. Nobody defrauded you. You sinned. Now we are forgiving you. You should be happy. What I'm telling you is very important. Let me make you feel worse again. I want to make you feel very bad. That money is not coming back. That your all the seed you sow, you went to take overdraft to give offering. Sorry, go and pay the overdraft back. God will not reward you with anything more than what I'm giving you today, which is what? Correction. I'm not done with making you feel bad. I need to do some more. All the ones you sold like that for the last 5 years, they were dying as you were dropping that you did not know. It's not coming back. When you could not identify a genuine cause, but because of your own personal desires, you are giving offerings. You are throwing money away. No, don't worry. I'm saying this thing. God says, essentially, this is what he said. I have to deliver somebody completely today. Somebody has to be totally delivered. Because the problem with people is that they hear truth today. They go out tomorrow. They get moved. You understand? By the opposite. So, somebody here, your cup, today is your day of deliverance. Amen. After today, you will not be tossed to and fro by any wind of these doctrines. Amen. According to my brother, no prophetic swindler will take advantage of you again. Amen. Amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
I'm waiting in the vex. The Lord is good. Now, why am I going through all of this? Like I said, it's for total deliverance. You know what God said, Jeremiah? I have, see, this day I put my word in your mouth. He said, go down, go there. You do six things. What are the first four? Break down, uproot, destroy, overthrow. Then build and what? Plant. Four works of breakdown and two jobs of building up. The reason is because the rot was so bad, there was a lot to dig away. That's what was happening. And I'm doing that today again to help some people. We'll build and plant in a moment, all right? So we're just still breaking down. Do you follow what I'm saying? Every seed you sowed with yourself in mind died long ago. Yeah, somebody say, water it with more seed. How can you water a dead seed? I've heard it before. Prophesy over it. It's dead. Should I tell you what you should do to dead seeds? Let them go. God said to Samuel, how long will you mourn Saul, seeing that I have rejected him? Now go and anoint for me another king. So forget that thing. All those your seeds you sowed over the last few years, that breakthrough is not coming. Tell your neighbor, it's not coming. It's not coming. It's not coming. I hope you have felt very bad now. Let's now build and plant. Let me say this to you again. There is nothing your own works could have made God owe you more than what Jesus has already made him owe you. Did you hear what I said? That is, there is nothing you want from God that Jesus hasn't paid for. Nothing. So even though I said all of these things to make you feel bad, let me tell you the truth. There's no need to feel bad. That thing you are looking for, if you just turn to God now directly and don't try and do any of these funny things, and just ask him for it, he will give it to you. And you will see it manifest quickly. You won't have to save for the next 3 years. God will do that thing for you over the next few weeks, the next few months. Are you getting my point? But I just need to emphasize to you how we do good works as Christians, which is our habit. It's based on opportunity. It's based on recognition of need. I wrote the book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, to explain why the widow of Zarephath was able to give to Elijah. God knew she would give to Elijah. Why? Elijah came to look for her alone. Why did it matter to her whether he was telling the truth or not was that the man was visibly hungry. If a man comes to you and says, God says you give me food to eat, don't question the God speak to him. Check, is he hungry? Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
Don't question Did God really speak to you? How? Prove to me. Which voice? Did he flash his ID card? Did you see the glory around the throne? Forget all of those things. Those are unnecessary arguments. So what if God did not speak to him? Is he relevant? He's hungry. And if you have the facility, the opportunity, understand? If you have the resources to meet his need, God spoke to him. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. If you have the ability to meet that need, God spoke to that man. Because even if God did not speak audibly to him, that he was sent to come and meet you, all right, is God speaking to him. I told you the story once, shortly after I came to Enugu here. A young woman came to my office and said, of course, he said somebody wanted to see me. Who is it? I don't know her. She came in. She's a student from so and so place. What can I do for you? She said, God sent me to come and meet you that you will help me. She made a terrible mistake there. I came, you know, I've been built up to be allergic to all these people who go around trying to swindle people with God said. So I said to her simply, of course, instantly I discountenance the God said God didn't say. I explained to the young woman, I'm sorry, look at the amount of work I have on my table. You will have to go. I didn't even say that, hey, did God say to speak to you? Oh, no, you know. Hey, let me not offend God, though. I didn't care. I said to her simply, please shift. I have work to do. Then as she was leaving, because the office where I was sitting was rather big, so you need to take some steps to get out of the office. I just said, by the way, what do you want? It wasn't, did God say to you or God didn't say? I said, what do you want? The girl was quick. She was ready. Opened her bag, brought out her pack of slides. I'm a pathologist, all right? Brought out a pack of slides that needed interpretation. That she's a final year student, so, that they are submitting their projects by this particular time. The only people that can help them in the city where she came from, they are charging a lot of money, and there are a lot of students they are helping. So she doesn't have the money to pay, and she's running out of time. Once she told me that, it was no longer relevant whether God sent her or God did not. This was a young woman that was in critical need. Standing there, work she had been begging people to do for weeks. While she was standing there, I was through with it in less than an hour. Okay, let me have the slide. What is that? If I taught her a lot that day, I said, what is this? I said, look at you. Call yourself an anatomy student. Finally, you can't recognize the bronchus. Look at that. I'll show you this, and that. What are the alterations I described? The girl was taking notes. Next. I mean, this is my job. That's not my point. I went through the thing one by one. Next 1 hour, I left what I was doing. Went through. She stood there. She didn't even have the opportunity to sit down. Handing me slides, taking notes. By the time I was through, any other thing? Thank you very much, sir. She left my office. Didn't have to pay a dime. God sent her. Are you getting what I'm saying? God sent her. And later on, I said, yes, God sent this young woman. Why? Because I resumed in that office less than a month before that day. I'm not sure anybody knew I was in town, you know, apart from those who are around. And she traveled from some distance. Because actually, she said she was praying. And in her spirit, she said, go to Enugu. You will find a pathologist there. He will help you. That didn't matter to me. I didn't care. That is the problem between you, your spirit, and your God. For me, it was that you presented a valid need. You gave me a valid opportunity to do good. And when you said God said, you're obviously a Christian. Are you getting my point? Whether you are right or wrong, he said, especially to those of the household of faith. So I had the opportunity to do good to a Christian. Did God speak to her? Now I believe God spoke to her. At that time, it was irrelevant. What mattered was that I saw a valid need. Many times my wife and I will get involved in, you know, giving to work of ministry, work of charity. I can't remember God. Listen to me. God actually speaks, so I hope you are getting my point. But sometimes he doesn't bother. God will never tell me to give a man food when a man comes to me and says, God, please, I haven't eaten since morning. He doesn't bother talking to me about that because he knows I will give him food. There are certain principles that operate in that area. You know, I told you before. Somebody you know well, he misbehaves. He's a stupid guy. He's very responsible. But he's a married man. He has children. And you have some relationship. Either he's your cousin or he's a man of God and stuff like that. Whatever be the issue. And he comes and says, we have not eaten since morning. I have a principle. he must eat. Because I don't want them to wake up at night. He said, children, let us pray. Let us cry to the Lord who supplies food. And God said, what is going on? He said, we have not eaten. Ah, you have not eaten? I said, the last person we spoke to is Pastor Banky. Please don't put me in trouble. I won't let that happen. For that day, you must eat. That is as often as you have the opportunity. That's what I'm talking about. You don't want people to make merchandise of your soul. These days, there are people that they are... Listen, let's say these things. Let's call a spade. Let's tell ourselves the truth. There are preachers that their job... Now, this is how they feed their families. They go raising money for other pastors and they take a cut. I'm sorry I have to say it. Sometimes they sit down and negotiate the cut. It's 30%. That's it. You have them for the next 2 hours. And the man comes, you think the guy is calculating. Some of them say, I will collect the money from your hand and bless you. He's calculating so that he's not cheated. Lord, I'm sorry. Let's tell your children the truth. The bad side about these things is that when you know things like this, your heart gets hardened. So that when that real Elijah comes, you drive him away. And God will never, listen to me, he won't say because they are bad Elijahs, you miss the real one. Your miracle has just walked away. So the question that, how do I know the real Elijah? And that's what I'm teaching this evening. Don't worry about whether he's anointed or not. Make sure the need is valid. And your heart sees the valid need. I've been to a church before, the man of God, this was not today. Today, 100 million is not as much as it was. This, so I'm telling you, it was 1995-96. The man said he's going to build a big church and it's 100 million naira they were going to spend that time. When at the end of the month, I end only 6,000 naira a month. I have a principle. You want to build a 100 million naira church? Like I always say, it's between you and your God. Is it a bad thing? No. Is it a good thing? No. What is it? It's between you and your God. Doesn't concern me. So what are you going to do? What I can afford to give you. Out of what I have, you understand, is this. I give it to you and I walk away. If you like, preach from that to tomorrow. Anybody who gives 50,000 naira, his life will be multiplied. Am I going to borrow money? Because to me, your need is not real. I don't know what I get my point. It doesn't mean it's wrong. Please, you must understand, you can't judge the things of another man accurately. Like I told you the other day, one of our brothers said he wanted to buy a Gulfstream jet for $65 million. People were making a lot of noise. I said, one man wrote an article which I loved. He said, why I will not give him my money? Do you understand? He didn't say why it is wrong that he's buying the jet. He just said, why I am not giving him my money? Will I have given him my money? I don't know. I'm not there. Seriously, I doubt. But nothing wrong with it. There are those that, you know, oh God, how many things will I say? There are those that they all fly jets and they can understand your problem. Say, you don't have a good jet. How are you coping? Praise God. Brother A doesn't have a good jet. And they'll go amongst in their own fellowship. Praise the Lord. Brethren, I brought a serious need. I was in church the other day and I was talking to pastor. And pastor doesn't have a proper jet. He's flying around preaching this everlasting gospel and doesn't have a good jet. And the person said, are you serious? Which type is he using now? You know why they're all talking like that? They all flew for this meeting in private jets. Don't be angry with them. It is their own assignment in life. Some people say, what is it? How can they? There are poor people. Jesus said, the poor you will have with you always. If you like, sell all Dangote's money and share it out. You just joined Dangote to the group of the poor. You have not made anybody rich. You think, where else is that cash that is there? Ask the men who have it, how it came there. The cash was in the environment before they came. How come it magneted itself to them? That's the question you'll be asking. Not making it look as if they are the reason why poor people are poor. No, the rich man is not the reason why poor people are poor. If you have your own magnetic field, you collect your own portion. So, those men will gather. And somebody will say, oh, no, we have to deliver pastor out of this predicament.
How much do you have? I think I can give $5 million to that.
Somebody will give 5 million.
How much do you have? I think the Lord leading me. I think I'm expecting some money, but now just hold this 7 million. If breakthrough comes like I'm expecting, before the end of the year, should be to give under 20.
These 7-10 men we gather and buy the jet for $65 million. To them, it's a valid need. You know, it is a valid need. For me, I ain't giving you $100. What do you mean? Now, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, though. However, if he had come to me and say, you know this man of God, do you know anytime he's going to preach, he treks. He has to take a bike, go to the bus station. It's real to me. You know, I can feel it. Because I don't do that. I was coming from, I would travel today, well, some of my kids and my wife and I. When we got to a particular rough area, I was feeling sorry for those inside commercial buses. Why? Because my own glass, poof, everything wound up, AC on, my children were sleeping at the back, and I was driving a car that does not quench on the road. So as the buses were, and that area was dusty. And as I was raising dust, everybody was raising dust, and I saw people inside commercial, you know, Peace Mass Transit, you know, dust on their faces. I was feeling bad. I told my wife, people are suffering. Look at this. As if I didn't do this a few years ago. You know that kind of thing. Honestly, to me, it worries me if a pastor is going to preach in Port Harcourt from Enugu and he has to go to the park. I will get concerned. I tell me, Susan is going to preach. Where? He's going to the park. He's going to the park. I didn't know taxes. God, that's expensive. Honestly, you tell me that, I will dip my hand in my pocket. I will say, here to Port Harcourt is not more than 15,000. Give him. Don't give him. He may just go and pay bus and collect the balance. I'm telling you. Call the taxi man. Give him the money. Tell him to go and meet that man. Tell him to wait there. When the man is finished preaching, drive him back and come and collect your return fare from me. I will do that because I feel the need is what? Genuine. I am not going to sow a $100 seed to buy a 65 million naira jet. Is it because it's bad? No. It's just because the need is not real to me. Are you getting my point? I know I know it's there. Some people are angry that time. How can anyone want to buy a jet? I say he had one before. Why are you talking like if he just woke up one day, say me too, I want a jet? He had one. He just said that the thing is faulty and I want to replace it. And my God is not a poor God. And my God is a God of abundance. So I'm going to buy the best. People, they vex. Me, I know they vex. So. It doesn't annoy me. The only thing that upsets me is if you say, I should bring money, I won't give you. But if somebody tells me that, six of our guys will go together and give that brother $50 million, I will not say, where there are poor people, no. The need is real to them. If you tell Dangote now that you missed a critical business meeting because Eric canceled flight, he will stop doing business with you. Some people don't know. You think everybody has your problems? If you and Dangote have a deal on the refinery in Lagos, he brought people from Germany, people from France, to go have a meeting. They already cancel your flight. Forget that business. He's throwing you out of the deal. Do you know what you are costing him by the fact that already canceled your flight? If those men are here, he's spending tens of thousands of dollars. Why don't you just call Aerocon, what do you call it? Cavatin. Call Cavatin. They'll bring a helicopter, ferry you to come out for the meeting. When they are done, you give them $20,000, they go home. Yes. No. You can't come and be telling him, Eric canceled your flight. Do you know how much he's losing? Just by the way, we're just gisting, all right? So we know what's going on in this life. Some people think that everybody is poor. Not everybody is poor. A lot of people are very busy. They say, Dangote said the reason why he does not use a private jet to go to China is that he cannot wait for his pilots to finish sleeping. Otherwise, China is too far. That's the only place he flies commercial to. And each time those men go to a place like US, $20 million disappears. Naira, sorry, not dollars. In fuel money. So people like him, anyway, two or three people like that are here this evening. Amen. And when I need my own Gulfstream, you will buy it. For you that time, it will be a real need. Yes. You say, Emeka, have you heard?
Pastor came last time. He was delayed at the airport and I flew first class. And you're angry. Can you imagine? He had to be checked into the international hotel to sleep overnight. This is annoying. I'm telling you to be very annoying because you can't remember what last happened to you. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Back to our teacher. What am I trying to say? If the need is real to you, are you getting my point? Don't worry about the prophecy behind it. That's what I'm trying to explain. If the need is not real to you, leave them alone. Connecting to a prophetic word by giving to a need you don't understand is a waste of time. The woman, the Shunammite woman, did not even know Elisha was going to prophesy a child into her life. She just said, "This is a holy man of God that is passing by us every day. What are we going to do for him? Let us make him a room so that when he's passing by, he can sleep in comfort." These were rich people. Let's put a table there. And that's what they did. And it happened that every time Elisha would come into town, that became his new lodging place. He was sure of room, food, and where to lay his head. They gave him the best accommodation they could afford. She was not looking for anything. The day the man came and said, what do you want us to do for you? You know what she said? Nothing. You want more money? No. She would talk to the chief of police? No. What am I saying? She did that for Elisha without any desire for any reward. Yet the prophet said, no, we must do something. Let me not finish the rest of the story. We all know most of the rest of it. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. How is it that we will not... I began this time to explain the culture of Christians. That's why how Christians behave. We don't have gone through all this investigation of, is the man genuine? That is, did he really... Did God really speak to him that if I give, he will multiply? God said, listen, I don't need that. You know, I don't need to tell anybody. Take your Bible and read. All right? Make giving a habit. Make giving a habit. When you see a genuine need, please flow something towards it. And you see, let me tell you something about giving again. It's as your faith increases. You understand? That your ability to respond to things increase. And that's why you must always build up your faith. Your faith is built up. You understand that, listen, it is not what I have that will solve my problems. It is God that will solve my problems. Sufficient unto the day is evil thereof. So if I have money and I see a problem the money can solve. You know, there are times you look at your problem. Your money can't solve it. Yeah, you don't know. You have a need that's going to cost like $300,000 to meet. All the money you have is $30,000. You don't need the spirit to tell you that that money is not for that problem. No, there are some common sense operations in spiritual things. You are there, you are praying. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, this need has to be met. You are the great supplier. And so the man who's supposed to help you do the work, maybe in our construction work, the man now arrives and gives you the bill. You look at the bill. You start laughing. The man says, it was funny. You're just laughing. How much? $850,000. You're laughing. Guys, why are you laughing? I'm laughing in the spirit, you know. Having seen that out of my 30,000 naira, there is no way you are bringing 850 out of it. You know what God, I just said to you? That need is not going to be met by your 30,000 naira. The 30,000 naira on you is for another need. It's simple. So while you are sitting down there still thinking, a young man now comes. And just say, Pastor, good afternoon, sir. Say, what's going on? I'm supposed to go to school tomorrow, but I won't go yet. I'll go next week. Say, why are you not going tomorrow? I don't want to go yet. I'll just go next week. Why are you not going tomorrow? It's just that it's better if I go next week. You know, this when an adult is telling you like that, he doesn't want to tell you the real reason. You now sit him down and say, tell me, what's going on? Say, actually, sir, you know, my dad is late. My mother is the one that's supposed to pay the money, but my younger brother he has to pay his WASC fees, and this and that. All the money she has been used up. She's just hoping that before now, during her next week, she'll be able to borrow some money to send me off to school.
How much is school fees? 28,000. Bam! 28,000. You now start laughing. Ha, ha, ha! So the boy says, sir, why are you laughing, sir? Say, I'm laughing in the spirit. You know, the guy, oh, okay, see me, just, can you come back in an hour? When I finish, you see me in the house. You go there, you count the 30,000, you give me 20,000, give me another 500 naira on it. So this one for transport. Make sure, now start speaking like a big brother. Tomorrow I want to see you in school. Do you understand? Yes, sir. I'll go to school, sir. Yes, sir. How we go? So next week is not better again. No, no, no. Next week. Tomorrow. I mean, we have test on Wednesday. You know what you have done? You have fulfilled the scripture that says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That money was given to you to solve that boy's problem. Now listen to this. This is where the problem is. Because you understood this, and remember you were praying. Remember, you were casting all your cares upon the Lord. When the workman came and gave you a bill of 850,000, you took that money. Spiritual understanding told you, this money is not, because just common sense, it cannot be for this one. God must have another way by which he wants to meet this need. So now tell the man, don't worry, between now and next week, we should be able to start work. So the man says, okay, I'll be back next week, sir. When you said that, you were trusting God totally. Your whole faith was in God. And what is the manifestation of that? That when God sent a young man to come and collect the resources for the day, you gave to the day, are you getting my point? Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You self-sorted that evil that day with the money available. That is how your faith spoke that day. That faith being so strong will bring the 850 necessary before that week is over. Now, this is where the problem is. Somebody will not, you not tell a story. Someone will say, do you know what happened? He sowed a seed on Monday. It was not a seed. And you get what I'm saying? All that happened was that you realized that sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. It was a manifestation of your faith. And that faith, because it is strong, it produces results. Some people don't know what happened. They're not saying, how much do we need in this house? Your wife says 1.5 million. How much do we have in the account? He say 100,000. Go and bring 100,000. Bring it. Because what this man of God told me that time was that when he sowed a seed of 50,000, God gave him 850. So we are going to sow a seed of 100. Are you getting my point? Then the guy now sows a seed of 100. And he starts waiting. First week, nothing. Second week, nothing. Third week, nothing. Fourth week, nothing. So this Pastor Murphy was telling lies. What he doesn't realize that he wasn't telling lies. He wasn't. But he did what he did for a different reason. He did not sow his seed the way you are sowing yours. He understood that God is the supplier. And because he understood that God is the supplier, he did the work for the day. It's one of the cultures of Christianity. We don't worry about tomorrow. We don't worry. It's not as if we live carelessly. Let me just say something. It's not as if they give you 1 million and I say, Pastor Mark, say, don't worry tomorrow. Let's go to Okigwe. That's where the suya is good. So you carry all your friends, drive to Okigwe. Say, bring suya. Yeah, sit down. So why? Pastor Banky said, don't worry about tomorrow. So you take 1 million naira, you spend it eating suya. Let me tell you what the Bible calls such a person. He's a foolish man. That's the only way I can describe it. Foolish man. He has met no need. He has fed his lust. Not worrying about tomorrow is not the reason why we now start feeding our lusts. A man comes and says, I'm not worried about tomorrow. So today you see him using a Galaxy Note 4. Then he sees your phone. Oh boy, which one? That one? iPhone 6S. Sir, do you have money for that one? You know me, I don't worry about tomorrow. Then goes to the market, he buys an iPhone 6S. So he's shining. Why? He's not worried about tomorrow. Then his friends are going to, what happened? Oh, Angela is marrying in London. Hey, I don't have the money. But I'm not worried about tomorrow. So he takes the money and flies to London for a wedding that does not concern him. Why? He's not worried about tomorrow. He's an idiot. Amen? He's not walking by faith. This is a man who is twisting the scripture to service his own lust. When we are using this, I'm not worried about tomorrow, we are taking the need of the day. It's the need that we are solving with the resources of today. That is the sign that we are not concerned about tomorrow. So you get home. The children said that, mommy, it's only rice this evening. There's no egg. You now say, no. Don't worry. You know, school is opening in 2 months' time. So I'm saving money for your fees. Children are getting malnourished. You are saving money for the fees that is not due for the next 2 months. That is when you are worried about tomorrow. When we say, don't be worried about tomorrow, we say, children, no. You must eat a balanced diet. You feed them for today. Then they tell that, no, one of their friends came home with them. He doesn't have food. He doesn't have clothes. Yet their own fees, all right, will be due in 2 months' time. Then you feed that other fellow and clothe him, even though you don't have much. Then you get a call. Maybe in your church, they are doing something. They have a program. They are having a special program. They are bringing a minister. It's going to be a nice program. The good word of the Lord is going to be taught. People are going to be encouraged. And they say, the total bill is this amount of money. Then you say, me, I don't have any money. You know, my children are opening school in 2 months' time. You are worried about tomorrow. That when you go there and say, I don't have much money. All I have to contribute is this 2,000 naira. Maybe the total budget is 1 million. As far as you are concerned, what I can afford is 2,000. You put in the envelope, put in the offering basket towards that program. And then you relax. That's not worrying about tomorrow. You are solving today's problems today. Not feeding your lust today. Some people, they want to twist what you have said. You see a young boy, he's wearing shoes that his grandfather has never seen before. You go home, he has never bought shoes for anybody. He's shining. Where's your savings account? What's a Christian doing saving? But what's a Christian doing living lavishly? He twists the scriptures. Why? Because of his own loss. Because of his loss, he twists the scriptures. He buys gold. Or usually it's the she that buys the gold. You understand my point? She buys gold and 6 months, she's paying. That's one of the ways you make sure that you can't do good to other people in life. It's a sign of unbelief. Your faith is not going to work. You're going to be broke one day. You budget yourself tight. You bought shoes that a pair will have bought for 15 other people. Is it bad? No, how can it be bad? If you can afford it. Except that you have been paying for 3 months. I've told you, any shoe you are paying for 3 months is beyond your size. No, let's, culture of Christianity. One culture that we don't pay for mundane things for 3 months. You buy shirt, third month you are still paying for blouse. You should know that it's not your size. There are blouses 1/4 that price that you will pay once. Sir, I will look cheap. You are cheap anyway. You are paying money for 4 months on this thing. How do you want to look expensive when you don't have money? So, human beings are funny. You feel comfortable wearing a shirt you haven't paid for 3 months. Oh boy, I've told you, just go and buy one nice high polyester gray, 60% polyester, 40% cotton, white shirt. Buy two. You know why I like them? You wash them in the evening, by morning they don't dry. I don't like this film, it's straight. You are shining all the time. And those shirts are annoyingly very, very inexpensive. The ones that they color with tea after 1 year are the ones that cost 10 times that price. Because they are 100% cotton. When you wear them, they stand properly. Your skin can breathe through it. What is your skin doing breathing? Lift it up and fan it. You know, some people, you'll be learning the culture of rich people. Look, there are some things we don't use faith for. You get my point? These are things that are added unto us. You know what I use faith for? We don't claim them by faith. Material things, we let God add them. That's what I mean. It's not as if we don't, of course, everything is by faith. But we don't stress ourselves for those things. Those days when I was in Lagos, I like to tell my story. I liked shirts. Fine. I mean, some of you know me. I like to wear good quality things. I mean, I've always been like that, you know. But the good Lord gave me good sense. I would go to Lagos, Mandela's that time. We knew the place behind where they sell the very, what they call grade A used shirts. Good quality, $500. And you get back to work, you spray starch and like this, you'll be shining. All the babes go, they look like this, my God, this guy is too fine. They won't know that. I won't lie to you, I lived my life like that all the years I was in Lagos. Ask my wife. But I remember when I first came to Enugu. By that time, I was not a specialist. Pay had improved. Things were better. There was a particular job I did one day. I told my wife, I want to go and buy shirts. I went to Benin. I went to forestry. Went to the shop where they were selling 100% top quality Van Heusens. I point, give me that one, that one, that one. Different colors. I still saw some of the pictures the other day. Wore the thing. Put my tie. I said, God, thank you. Each of those shares at that time was costing 10 times what I used to pay before. But the season had changed. Before, my shares were 300 to 500 naira. That time, each of these ones, I bought 5,000. Till today, if you pay 5,000 for a shirt, you know how much? You know it's an expensive shirt. And I'm telling you, the year 2001 was when I did that. 14 years ago. I bought one shirt, 5,000. I bought like three or four at the same time. Walked out of the shop and I felt like, yes, God is good. But the season had changed. I like to tell this story all the time. The first time, you know, of course, when I first started chasing this woman that I married, you know, chasing her up and down, chase this with, you know, chasing her up and down. Finally, I caught her. And I said, with this ring, I did give engagement. You know, that kind of thing. I gave her a ring to wear. My friend Donna followed me to the market to buy 300 naira. I bought the ring. $300 was what I bought the ring. Lagos, Tejusho Market. Eventually, after running and me blocking her, finally she collected the ring and wore it. And this young woman wore the ring for a long time. Months after we were married, she was still wearing the ring. I bought it for 300 naira. Why do I like to tell the story? Because a few years after, maybe like 4 or 5 years after, one day was her birthday. I said, let me buy you rings. And I paid 50,000 naira for two. She still has one of them. Somebody stole the other one. Yeah, I'm serious. I paid 50,000 naira for two. From 300 naira to 25,000 naira for a ring. Gone are the days of buying ring for 300 naira because that's all I could afford. Once I was coming from the US, after I got to Dubai International, I checked my pocket, my luggage had been checked in. I said, okay, I still have $100. I went to the ring counter. How much is that ring? $85. I gave them the money, collected it. Gone are the days of buying ring for 300 because that's all I can afford. But in its season, it fetched me a wife. One day I was preaching somewhere. One foolish girl. I told this story. The whole place erupted. And the Holy Spirit just turned my head. I knew it was the Holy Spirit. I was just looking at her that time as she turned to her friends and said, I won't take it. It was a big hall. Many people there. She was sitting somewhere towards the back. And I answered, I said, oh, you won't take it. Let me tell you the other things you will not take. I said, when my wife delivered my first son, Akinlu, I said, I walked to the car shop in Benin. And I picked a fresh Tokumbo BMW and bought it for her and dropped it in the house. That's another thing you will not take. I began to tell her, I'm a dedicated husband. No other woman can attract me. I've been married this year, will make 16 years. Those are the things you will not take. You will reject it because the ring is 300 naira. You are lucky I didn't tie a rope on your hand. Telling you the truth. I've had friends who wedded before. When they said, let's exchange vow, people say, hey, no ring. They borrowed the ring inside the hall. Nah, but give me that your ring. After the wedding, we'll give you back. Like I keep on saying, look, you have to be wise, all right? I like to always use this illustration. Fola Adeola, many of you know Fola Adeola, the founding MD of GT Bank. Used to hawk oranges in Yaba. Don't ever forget that story. One of my friends was telling me he wanted to sell a house. And his younger brother that he made rich was pricing the house for 450 million naira. I said, I asked my friend Mike, what are they planning to do with the house? He said they want to live in it. I said, eh? It's not an office structure. No, it's a residential duplex. But it's near the water. So when they open the door, the breeze from the ocean blows in their face. You know, you go down and you say, eh, praise God. Yeah, that was a man he made rich, not him himself. Yet as a young boy, he used to hawk oranges. That day when I was preaching, the Holy Spirit just helped me see that young woman. She did like this to her friends. I won't take it. I said, look at you. Who wants to give yourself? You're not even happy somebody's offering you. Only a man of substance will have the boldness to offer you a 300 naira ring and not feel bad. Okay, take. This is all I have. The Lord is good. My message for today, we'll preach next week. Those of you who came with these money issues on your heart, I hope I answered your questions. I hope I helped you. Honestly, if you were around the last time I preached, I said I was going to read 2 Timothy chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 5. I finished the message, I didn't read it. So today I said, okay, let me start with them again. Now the message has ended. I have not even opened my Bible. And it's not my fault, it's your fault. Your fault, the person knows, those who know who is their fault, they know what I'm talking about. Alright? But please, I will try my best to preach my message next time. But let's just start it now, though I won't preach it. Just let it just be that I read the Bible. Amen? 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul said from verse 1, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead. Please notice the word, judge. Who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. That's, I'm charging you by these things. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers and all of that. He said, but you, verse 5, be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Please let me say this again. I'm going to jump a few verses to connect two verses together. He said, I solemnly charge you, verse 1, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead. He said, I'm charging you to preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. He now said, be sober in all things, endure hardship, that is, preach the word, be ready in another season, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. All of these things I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is going to judge you on how you did these things. He said, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. He said in verse 7, I have fought the fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Now this, let me just read verses 9 and 10 because it's interesting. Make every effort to come to me soon,
For Demas, having loved this present world, had deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. And the other people have gone to different places. Now, let me just say this. This was why what I wanted to preach today before the Holy Spirit just dragged me in that direction. And I believe we were blessed by the exhortations. What I was trying to bring out is that remember what our religion is as Christians. We have been talking about the fact that the essence of culture is religion. That is, what we believe in our hearts is what decides how we behave outwardly. And I'm trying to emphasize that Christianity affects your outward behavior. And this kingdom life is talking about our outward behavior. And today we ended up speaking about money matters and how our faith affects our outward behavior. Now, so what is our religion? What's our faith? We've already established it. I said our religion is love for God, love for people. We live for the future, not in this time dispensation, but for a life after now. Knowing that we will give account. I want you to understand. I said our religion shows that we are going to give account for how we live our life now. And this account is before our righteous judge, which you just read about now, in that 2 Timothy chapter 4. And that righteous judge is currently teaching us his standards of living. We believe in preaching the kingdom of God, knowing that we are servants of him who said to us, be occupied until I come. Occupy with this until I come. We love one another and we have respect for the rules of his kingdom and all of those things. Now, and we are people led by Christ's Spirit. Grace and truth we have to be able to obey the word and instruction of God for our life, for our lives. Those are the things that constitute our religion. We've been talking about it. So these things affect our lives. What I wanted to bring out today is to bring out, of course, I hope we'll be able to do it next time. Because I've been trying it for the last two sessions now. Is to explain to Christians how our understanding of the fact that we are going to stand before Jesus Christ, our judge, how it affects our everyday living. That's what I want to explain. That's why I read this, that Paul said that I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead. You must understand that we one day will give account of our lives before God. Sometimes people are making decisions in their lives. One of our brothers and I, we've been speaking much over the last few days on how people just make decisions. They make decisions that make it appear as if God created them just to go and have comfort in life. That is a very, very, very bad thing for a Christian to do. That's a stupid thing. You ask somebody, why are you moving your family? It's very common. This is man and woman will stay in Nigeria. No, man will stay in Nigeria. Wife and children will go to Canada. Canada is the reigning thing. You know, America, visa lottery stopped like 2 years ago. Now, Canada is still open, so everybody's going in that direction. Like I say, it's difficult to judge the things of another person from outside. God knows how he's leading each person. But please, you can go to Canada, you can go to Australia, you can be in Switzerland, you can be in Enugu here with us, you can be in Sokoto with Pastor Courage, you can move to Maiduguri, you can do anyone. But just know one thing. One day, you are going to stand before the judge, all right, of his people, and explain to him why you did that. That's all I want to say. You know what Paul said to Timothy? Just now he said, endure hardship. You know what we preach this is? Run away from hardship. What did he say? Endure. He didn't say enjoy. People think that being a Christian means you enjoy hardship. Bros, if I don't have enough food to eat, I will praise God despite not having enough food to eat. But I will not enjoy not having enough food to eat. And God doesn't expect me to enjoy it. God says that, okay, I set before you enough food and not enough food. He thinks I'm crazy if I go for not enough food. That's what I mean by he doesn't expect me to enjoy it. However, if he says, I set before you, fulfill your destiny and don't fulfill your destiny. But when you see fulfill your destiny, the food is not plenty. He expects that I will endure the little food that I might fulfill my destiny. Are you getting my point?
Yes.
It's about endurance. Sometimes when people speak, they speak in a manner, you know, that will judge them. They say to you, I can't endure hardship. They say, what are you doing in that country? Where they're always taking, Nepal is always taking light. It's stupid talk. If you are listening to this from out of Nigeria, it's very stupid talk. I want you to know it.
You've just told me it's hardship. We know it's hardship. Who doesn't know it's hardship? But I've been instructed by God to do what? Endure it. You can't tell me, what are you doing there? Don't talk down. You should respect me for it. You should know that there must be something that you're doing that's making you tolerate this when you have an option. I used to give my friend Pastor Craig as an example. You think he didn't have where to go. That's why he's in Sokoto. Tell him, where's your passport? He'll give you a Nigerian one and a British one. So why is he in a place where to stay alive he prays every Tuesday? Obviously, there is an assignment. Obviously, there is faith in something. That's why it's enduring hardship. You know, a lot of us, we think that those who do some of this, they don't have options. They do. They do. I like to drop his story once in a while to let Christians know what we're talking about. If he's going abroad, going to the US, going to, what they call it, going to UK, he doesn't need a visa. He does not need a visa. None of his children need a visa to go to any of these Commonwealth countries. Christians speak as if after this life, God will now say, oh, my son, you have come home. Look at how fat you are looking. No, that's how we behave. I don't have time to preach that one today. I want us to close now. But I want you to bear it in mind. They are always snapping light off where you are. It's not the reason why you run away. Why? Because Christians are supposed to do what? Endure hardship. You know, sometimes when you hear people already say, how can I die your country? They talk. It's very annoying. Nobody talks to me like that. I hear it through third people, you know, third person report. This person said, I'll tell you why people stay in places that sometimes they don't enjoy. Because they are true Christians. Because they are true believers. They endure things. Sometimes you see, when you go to the West, Nigerians are learning it also. Every little thing, marriage has broken down. Why? Man, for 4 straight years, he didn't remember my birthday. God punish you. Your birthday. Go and ask the living things of those days. When they tell their wives bye-bye, that's 3 years. I'm serious. When they tell their wives bye-bye, it's 3 years. They get to Africa, write a letter, 6 months before the woman reads the letter, before he reads the reply. Because to get to England, 3 months. Assuming they deliver it immediately and she replies immediately, that's another 3 months before he reads the reply to a letter he wrote in January. It is June. A man now didn't remember your best days. And it's cause of quarrel in the house. It was my birthday a few days ago. One of our, well, a man that has become a friend now, a minister and his wife, they invited us to come to Lagos. Say I should choose any date between 4th and the following weekend. Everything in my mind says 4th. But you know the natural human thing. 4th is your birthday now. You be at home. Let us celebrate. I told my wife, now kingdom matter will they talk here. Nobody's going to hang around celebrating birthday when there's preaching to be done. I'm going to say, it's my son's birthday, you know, so I can't go and preach this weekend. Oh boy, we'll postpone your birthday. I will give birth to you next week. Don't worry. Honestly, that's what I wanted to teach today. We must live our lives like we understand that one day we are going to do what? Give account. One day we are going to give account. That's what I'm saying. We must learn to endure difficulty. What is the big deal in the fact that your mates are driving a car you don't have? These things are not going to go to heaven, literally. When you go to heaven, you know, it will be like, my dear Lord, my mates played with toys for 3 seconds. I didn't play with the toys. That's how it is sound in heaven. All the countries you want to see, that's deciding which man you marry now. When you get to heaven, the place will be like ghetto. I don't know what I get my point. You will look back from heaven at Switzerland. It will be like, people live there. How are they coping? And you will see that they were there for only 2 seconds, what you call a lifetime. You get to heaven, you will see beauty. The kind of thing you can't comprehend right now. Please, oh, live your life like one day that thing is going to happen.